Hi, my name is Jay Washburn.
And I'm Joe Bendosky.
And this is Start Writing.
And today we are going to be talking about tropes. What they are, why they're important, and what some of the confusions are about them. So anyone who's new, we are kind of an all-in-one podcast. We have episodes on marketing, writing, craft, grammar, and vocabulary. And we fill in where our experience falls short by interviewing other authors. This week in critiques. So I've been reading Red Rising, and the story starts with a miner on Mars, and it kind of talks about his experience in the mines and just his little culture and his family and everything. And honestly, it drags on for several chapters, and I thought it was a little boring. And I talked to a lot of other people, and they felt the same way. And I think the big problem was he started at the beginning, not in the middle. Because where he starts is definitely the beginning of the story, but it is not where the story gets interesting. Like, there were several times I almost walked away from the book. I was like, this one's not for me. But once I got past that, it was ripping, and I really enjoyed it. But I feel like he started at the beginning, and you're not supposed to start at the beginning.
So out of curiosity, what was it that got you to read this book?
So...
like, who told you about it, or what hook did you read? Or?
So I guess this is an interesting story and fully illustrative of at least how my book purchasing processes work. If I hear about a book and it sounds really interesting, I add it to my wish list, right? And then if somebody's telling me about a book and it sounds really interesting and I go to put it on my wish list and it's already there, that's when I buy. Because it was like, oh, clearly... this has been recommended before, and so I should pick it up. So that was my purchasing. That's kind of my purchasing process is, with a new book is if I hear about it, twice and it's already on that wish list when I go to add it, I'm like, well, clearly it was a good choice. So let's do this.
So for me, it's if I can remember that I've already added it to my list, which usually means like three times.
It doesn't tell you?
No. I'm just saying like when I hear it, and without looking at my wish list, I already know, oh, that's on my wish list. So it takes a couple more than just two mentions.
And I may have heard of it more than twice, but it was one of them sparked my interest enough to say, yeah, I'll check that out.
So do you remember what detail they shared?
The first time, I don't. I have no idea how it ended up on the wish list the first time.
Okay.
But the second time, we had a really good conversation, and the guy really convinced me to check it out.
Oh, sweet.
So.
Huh. Yeah, it actually intrigues me. I've been reading a lot of sci-fi, so.
So, yeah. Like I said, the beginning's a little rough, but once the rebellion recruits him, takes off and it's great.
Nice.
But you've got to get there. You've got to get there. So I was just going to say, like, as much as I really enjoyed this book, I felt like they started in the wrong place. I think they should have started closer to where the rebellion recruits him and filled in more of the backstory later on. I think they do a great job with twists in the book. Like, he really does. Like, to the point that anytime the main character tries something, I'm always like, that's not going to work. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's not going to work. So, yeah. I came across this. So that was my critique. For Writing True, I came across this. This is more marketing advice. But this was just a guy was wanting some feedback on his blurb, and an author named Dan Ferguson wrote this. He said, back blurb is too long, explains too much. Sell me the book, not the story. And I thought that was kind of just a really good marketing condensed thing. Sell me the book, not the story.
Yeah. Wait, so he said that to some other person?
Yeah, he said that.
Is it a conversation you were...
It was just a conversation in a group about marketing. So yeah, he put up his blurb and wanted some feedback, and the guy was like, it's too long. You're trying to explain too much.
Nice.
Sell me the book, not the story.
So I have a little thought. I read a book called The Glorious Cause. It's by Jeff Shara, and he takes what happened in actual history and transforms it into somewhat of a novel. So it's historical, and it's only fiction in the fact that he has to imagine some of the things that a character might have thought or felt.
That's standard historical fiction, right?
Well, it's not, there are no fictional characters in it at all. But yeah, it's a fairly standard.
So I guess maybe a dramatization, right? He's writing, yeah. He's writing dramatizations as opposed to historical fiction.
Yeah. Okay. And so...
So I guess technically you still classify it that way, but I see what you mean. Because I mean, I know, like, I, in my historical fiction, I try to stay pretty true to history, but I do make up characters. But
I shouldn't say all. Almost all of your characters are fictional.
So, but... I do know historical fiction writers who write in a historical time period, but they've got magic in their books. So, I mean, it's a really loose term, right?
Yeah. But what I wanted to talk about, or like the lesson I learned reading it, like it was an exciting book about the Revolutionary War, the American Revolution. But you already know the end, right? Yeah. You know what's going to happen. And so... I guess in that way your plot is weakened, but he does a great job of delving into the characters' minds, into their heads. And so even the losers in this case, which were the British, like some of the British generals, you feel bad for their plight. You feel bad in some of the battles they lose. Mm. And it just reminded me of what a powerful tool character can be. That even if you know the ending of the story, you know the climax, you can still love the story because of the characterization.
Hmm. All right. So our discussion. What is a trope? Jay, what is a trope?
Don't ask me.
So this is a term. So in writing, there's a lot of terms that are just kind of loose and they're thrown around with a variety of meanings, right? Like we've talked about scene many times and how it's problematic because we use it for so many different things. Trope is used that way. However, I feel like trope has a fairly specific definition, but there's just a lot of confusion about what that definition is. So I, as much as it's used in a lot of different ways, I think that's more there's a confusion on the actual meaning rather than it having a lot of diverse meanings. A trope is a shorthand. It's a way of communicating a lot of ideas or complex ideas very quickly. That will make perfect sense.
Wait, can I just interrupt? So my definition before reading your definition would have been that a trope is a common recognizable element in a certain genre.
That's true.
But I don't know.
They are going to be common and they're going to be recognized.
I'm just kind of throwing it out there.
Yeah, but I mean...
I like your definition better.
So, yeah. But I mean, that's definitely part of the explanation. They are common and they are recognizable in genres. But they serve a specific purpose to communicate these ideas really short and really quickly. And when we get into the examples... That's going to make perfect sense.
Okay.
So, it's because the term tends to be misused a lot, I have a few quotes from actual authors where they're actually talking about something totally different and they're complaining about something using the word trope. Because for some reason, there seems to be a negative connotation about tropes, and there shouldn't be. They're fantastic. They help a ton, and we will talk about it. Sometimes I've heard them complaining when they're talking about plot components. One of the worst tropes is when a hunk of a guy falls for a waif shy girl. This is not a trope. This is an element of the plot, and it's a current story trend, right? Kind of the Twilight thing. You have Edward falling for Bella. But that's not a trope.
They're complaining about a worn-out plot element.
Yeah, that's what
they're... Which is fine to complain about.
Yeah, so I don't even know if it's worn out. It's a type of story, right? It's a very popular story trend. It's a plot element, and they don't like it. So don't read that genre, right? Yeah. So sometimes it's misused when talking about a genre. The trope of BSM romance needs to die. It's not a trope. That's a genre. That's a whole genre. Don't read it if you don't like it. You know? Sometimes it's about style. The trope of little did they know needs to go away and now, right? That's a style. And we talked about how those cozy mystery writers actually like it. It's part of writing in their genre. So I'm tired of the trope of heroes at the mercy of the villain. I always see it coming. So I actually made this one up. So this one isn't real. But I wanted to point out something that could be confused in a trope, and that's what we call an essential scene, right? So certain genre, well, not all genres have what we call essential scenes, and that's not what we're talking about here. As I said, a trope is shorthand for larger concepts and ideas. So think of the image of eggs and bacon. It's just food, but in it, it communicates the idea of breakfast, of morning, of home cooking. That's a trope. Because all of those ideas, no writer has to say to you. They just show you bacon and eggs. It's all communicating this. So here's some tropes that from specific genres. A sword glows. You know immediately that sword is magic. That sword will do more than a normal sword. And the writer does not have to explain that. All they have to tell you is the color of the glow. Right?
Or just that it's glowing.
Yeah, right. So in the espionage thriller, you have the quartermaster. In the James Bond novels, he's referred to as Q. He'll have a variety of normal names in American novels.
That's what that stood for.
That's what it stood for. Quartermaster. Yeah. So, I mean, even in American spy movies, they'll visit the quartermaster as well, but he'll usually have a different name. But it's the guy who's in charge of weaponry, right? He arms the spies. So, they'll show off some of the gadgets and some of them there won't, but you know that everything he has given to the agent is special. It will do more than it seems, right? And so if you look at these two tropes, what we have here is both communicate the same idea. The item is more than it appears. In the thriller genre, this idea is communicated by who gives it to the agent. And in the fantasy genre, it's communicated by the glow. It's two different tropes from two different genres communicating the exact same basic idea. There is more than meets the eye about this item. And so that's, you know, I hope that really clears up the trope. But here's one more from more of a romance genre. A character in a black leather jacket. Immediately, right? So think about, what do you think about when you think about that character showing up in the black leather jacket? You probably think he's rebellious. He may even be riding a motorcycle. He walks his own path. Maybe he's a little moody. He has trouble with authority. None of that is written on his jacket, but you know it from the trope. All those ideas are communicated in that single image of a black leather jacket.
So that just made me think of the word stereotype. How is trope related to that?
Not.
So I guess when I see a person in a black jacket and think motorcycle, I'm just making assumptions based on a stereotype.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess in that same, the stereotype and the trope are using the same function of human psychology to communicate ideas.
Okay.
Right? So I think that's how they're connected, is we're using the same grooves in human mind functioning.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So this is one thing I did want to point out, because when talking with other authors about tropes, I saw this link come up several times, and it refers to tvtropes.org.
Oh, yeah.
And
I love that site.
On that site, they explain a trope as a figure of speech. And I feel like that's inaccurate. Not only that, but if you look at the example, right below their explanation, they have an example. And their example is electromagnetic ghosts. And what that is in movies or TV, you'll see the lights flicker, a TV goes to static, people feel like they're cold. All those communicate ghosts. That's the trope, right? Nobody, right? Their lights flicker and immediately ghosts, you know, right? But nobody says that. They don't have to. It's a trope. So their explanation, their example, dead on with what a trope is. But I feel like the verbal explanation, a figure of speech, is not how I would categorize that. Like, don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's a figure of speech, right? All hands on deck. That's a figure of speech, but not a trope.
Yeah, I agree.
So I feel like their verbal explanation is not done very well there. But like I said, their examples are dead on.
It's a super cool site, though. It's really interesting to read. And they'll pull up one of these tropes and then connect it to, like, hundreds of different stories that use that same trope.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
So this is where we talk about why tropes are important. And they save you a lot of explaining and exposition, right? Which helps move the pacing faster in your story. And readers of the genre are familiar with them, so they get annoyed when you explain it. You know, you just explained to me that this sword is magic. It's glowing. I know it's magic. You know? So the tropes in themselves are not bad or good. If readers are familiar, they help move the story quickly. But if they're unfamiliar, they can get confused. And so, there's, you know, it kind of goes either way. And so what are they? honestly, some are universal and some are kind of genre specific. And to find them, you need to read the genres and you need to recognize where a shorthand is being used, where you have made a lot of assumptions based on very little information that seem kind of universal.
And you need to go to tvtropes.org because that will explain that every element in your story has already been done many times.
Tropes are, they're like contractions for ideas, right? A throne is just a fancy chair without the trope that tells you what it means, right? And a crown is just a hat and a scepter is just a stick. But when we understand the complex ideas behind those symbols, then a throne is where the ruler sits and the crown is what identifies him as the king or queen, right? And that's basically just tropes at work. It's those deeper, complex ideas communicated very simply and very quickly. Anything to add?
No. That was great.
So I felt like that was short. Like we ripped through that. We did. It was a short episode.
That's okay. Nice and concise. That's start writing for you. Okay, guys, if you liked the episode, please leave us a review. We always love seeing more of those. And I guess that's it. All right. It's time to start writing.
There you go.